Amen. Good morning, Grace Point Church. Thankful that you're here to worship with us. I want to echo just a couple things Pastor Guy mentioned. First of all, if you have your Bibles, James 1:2, and we're going to go through 8. We already did some work there, but I'll finish up. Today, we'll go through verse 8. So if you want to turn there, while you're turning, a couple of announcements just to reiterate. First of all, three services, as Guy said, March 31st, 8:15, 9:30, and 11. This is an all-in Sunday for us as a church. I'm asking every Grace Point member to be in one of those three services. It's an all-in Sunday, 8:15, 9:30, 11. So we're looking for a great crowd. We'll have just a great time together as we take that next step forward, as God is growing Grace Point. So we're excited about that. It's going to be a big Sunday. We're giving away a car. We're excited about that. You know, whatever it takes. So be making plans about that. I want to encourage 8:15, 9:30, and 11 o'clock. And then next Sunday, the 24th, Pastor Rigo and his wife Rosie, who lead Casa Adobis Church that meets in our student building at 1:30, they will be here in both services with their four children. So I'll have an opportunity to introduce you to them, and he'll share a little bit. So I hope you'll make plans to be here next week to meet them. And then also, they'll be in both services. And then also in both services, the two new elder candidates, I'll introduce those to you, Josh Sterling and Jeremy Moon, who were nominated by you as a church, and we as an elder body went through the vetting process and bring them to you now as we believe the next two elders to serve here at Grace Point Church. So we'll do that next Sunday also. We'll have all the elders up here, and then we'll pray over Josh and Jeremy. And then these are out in the lobby. These are the Easter cards came in, so I want to encourage you to pick some of these up. We have a lot of these to pass out and invite people. 7 services on Easter weekend. Then on the back, you have all the information, the different times, the time of the Easter egg drop, our website, church address. So it's a great tool to be able to pass out to friends, neighbors, coworkers, and invite them to come to one of our 7 services Easter weekend. 5 I'll be preaching here, and then Rigo will preach 2 in Spanish over in the student building. And that information, they'll do a Good Friday. Our Good Friday is at 6. They're doing a Good Friday at 8. And then we'll have our rest of our weekend, and they'll do a Easter service at 1:30 on Sunday. All right. And then we'll have our 5 in between all of those, plus the Easter egg drop with the helicopter dropping it on Saturday at 3 o'clock. All right. So all of that information is on that card. So I want to encourage you to pick one of those up for your own, for yourself, but also encourage you to give those away. All right, James chapter 1. I want to give you 2 statements before we start today. 2 statements, and then I'm going to swing back and I'm going to finish with these. All right, so I'm really finishing up a message from last week. All right, so 2 things. Number 1 is this. First of all, not on your outline. First of all, is this: God will always give you His power and wisdom for His purpose, not for your convenience. So when we're talking about the wisdom of God here, so God is never going to empower you or strengthen you to do something that is outside of His will. So just stop praying for that. It's not going to happen. I just want God's power to go do what I want to do. He's always going to give you His power and His wisdom for His purpose. That's why we need to stay inside the boundaries of the will of God to fully experience the power and the wisdom of God for the purposes that He has for us. And then number 2, God will always, always give you the strength and wisdom that you need for the season that you are in today. God will always give you the strength and wisdom you need for the season that you find yourself in today. Whatever season you're in, Right? God wants to give you power. He wants to give you wisdom. We're going to see that. As you go through time of testing and trials, he's going to give you his wisdom if we ask for it. All right? But there's a qualifier in there, which we're going to see this morning. So let me... So what you see here in James 1, 2, this is really... This is a Romans 8:28 thing here too, right? So Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So we see the testing of our faith, the hard trial, difficulty, working for good because it produces, James says, endurance. So this is kind of a Romans 8:28 thing. So let's read it. Count it all joy, my brothers, James 1, 2. When, not if, you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith, and that's what's happening, that's what's going on in that trial, produces steadfastness. There's the good. And let steadfastness have its full effect. Don't shortcut it, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I think it's Christ-likeness. So to get us there, we walk through times of testing and times of trials. So therefore, instead of pushing away, which I want to do a lot of times, or get me out of this, right? What he wants us to do is to get the full effect and to walk through this trial. Now, verse 5 is where we left off last week. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. He says that because when we go through trials of many kinds and times of testing, it is hard for us to respond and endure them rightly. And so we need the wisdom of God to help us endure and to get the full impact, the full effect of what God wants me to learn in this. All right, now, there, verse 6. So if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Now, here's the qualifier, okay, verse 6. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Right? There's no stability, no security. For that person must not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So he's saying, you can ask God for wisdom. God will give it to you. However, you have to ask in faith. Okay, so we'll get to that in just a minute. Let me go back and pick up where I left off. Takeaway number one, James 1, 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Takeaway number one, we learned last week, we have to acknowledge that I need help. I need the wisdom of God in this thing. I cannot do this in my own strength. So I acknowledge that I need help is where it begins. And I said to you last week, instead of spending time asking the question why, which we do, as I said last week, I don't think it's wrong to do that. I've done that. For things in my life, I've done that for things in people's who are going through trials that I'm ministering to. Man, this is a hard one, Lord. I really don't understand why. However, we don't want to stay there. We don't want to live there. We don't want to dwell there. Because as I said last week, 1 Corinthians 13, sometimes some things this side of heaven we will never understand. We will never understand it. Sometimes God reveals things, but there are a lot of times it's going to be on the other side when we will know in full. Okay, so there are times. So instead of asking the question why, I said to you, I encourage you to ask these three questions. Number one, we talked about this. How can I understand this trial from God's perspective? That was the first one. Second, how can I navigate through this storm in such a way as to bring glory to God? That's a big one right there. And that's what James is saying, to get wisdom. Number three, how can this trial help me grow in maturity? How can this trial? So I said, let's settle there. Let's ask those questions in the midst of this trial, in the testing of our faith. Proverbs 4:7 says this: the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Mature believers are wise believers. As we move forward in our faith, Wisdom becomes an attribute. It doesn't have to do with our age, which we'll see in just a minute. Certainly there's, you know, because maybe we've been studying the Word more, but even young people can have wisdom and be very wise when we understand the definition of this. So let's talk about that. Let me define this for you. First of all, the way the Scripture defines wisdom and the way the world defines wisdom is not the same. In this context of the word wisdom, okay, we're looking at it differently, whereas the world typically will equate it with knowledge or intelligence, but which is part of it too. But what godly wisdom does is it adds the practical element of living out your faith. So if you're taking notes, let me give you this definition, then we'll talk about it. Godly wisdom is living life in the light of the revelation of God's will in His Word. So we're living life in the light of the truth, the revelation of God's will in His Word, and applying, right? So doing, that's what James is all about, doing the word. Don't just talk about it. Doing, applying this knowledge to specific situations. That's when we talk about wisdom here. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. That's what you're praying for. That's the wisdom that James is talking about here in this context, the wisdom to be able to endure the trials that we are facing, the difficulties that we're walking through right now, the valleys that we're in. We need to pray for wisdom to endure them and to respond rightly so we get the full effect of this. One writer says it this way: wisdom is that quality which enables us to suit the right means to the end in view. It is wholly practical and concerned not with theories and ideas, but with actual conditions and the way to meet them. It teaches us how to live and enables us how to meet every emergency rightly and successfully. It does not mean that we are infallible. It is not the wisdom of our common sense and level-headedness. It presupposes our fallibility and takes God's wisdom instead of our own. That person's really wise as a believer. That Christian's really wise. I'm saying that person knows and hears the Word of God and then obeys and responds to the Word of God. That's a wise individual. That's what he's talking about. Hearing the truth, the knowledge of God's Word. So yes, it does have knowledge, but then it's doing something with that. That's a wise person. And that's what James is saying, is if you need that wisdom to endure, you pray. That's what you're praying and that's what you're asking God for. So it's really, now, if any of you have been with me for any length of time, you know that I'm really big. I try to stay in my lane. My lane is teaching in a way that will give you truths to take out of here. That's why I like takeaways. So while we can go deep, I like to come up for air and say, here's what it means in a real practical way. That's my calling. That's my lane that I stay in, is encourage people in a way that they can take the Word of God, and when they walk out these doors, they begin to apply it to their life and their marriage. It begins to impact the way they view their trials. It begins to impact the way they treat each other. It begins to impact their parenting. It begins to impact how they respond to hard days. So we take God's Word, and then we want to make it understandable and practical. And James is saying that's what wisdom is. Now, here's the other thing. I learned a long time ago in my preaching that there is no way you are going to remember everything I say. I know that. It's a very humbling thing, actually. However, you're not going to remember everything I say. My wife and children never remembered everything I'll say. But I encourage you that every time you come here, and matter of fact, anytime you're sitting under teaching, but here we are, so that anytime you come here and I'm teaching, that you get just even one thing from the message today. And you take that one thing with you. And you begin wisdom to put that into my life, to integrate that, to embrace that, to live that out. And it starts to pile up, adds up. Maybe instead of trying to remember everything, what's that one thing that God kind of puts His finger on you to, and it can be different. You and your spouse may get something totally different. That happens to me all the time. People come and talk to me after my message and they'll say, man, God showed me this, this, and this, or this one thing, or these two things in your message, right? And I'm thinking, did I even preach on that? I'm not even sure I did. But I don't say that, but, you know, if God spoke to him that way, he'd be tough. And then somebody else can say something completely different than what they got. That's how God works. That's how the Holy Spirit works, right? He meets us right where we're at. Now, let me tell you one other thing, and I'm going, as I'm processing this. So think also, when you go into a worship service, whether it's here or whether it's any other church, but again, here we are. So think about that when you come into a worship service, not everything in here is for you. Here's why that's important. Because if you come into a worship service here or any other church, so when we, you know, summer, we'll take a take a Sunday or two off and we'll go visit other churches. If I go into that worship service like everything is for me, if you come into a worship service, everything is for me, then guess what? You're going to be disappointed in some way. Because you may say, well, I don't like that song. I didn't like that. I don't like they did that. I don't like when Pastor said that. That really wasn't for me. Or I didn't like this. Or I didn't like that. And then you miss what God has for you. So stay with me. So not everything, not every single thing is going to be for you. However, the reason God has you here is because something is for you. And here's the other part. Stay with me. What wasn't for you was for the person on the other side of that room. I mean, I've seen it. I've heard it. It's happened. Somebody will say, well, I didn't like this very much. And this other person here will go, man, this thing, that song really ministered to me, man. I just really met me right where I was at. So understand that not everything. So when I go into another church, I have to have, that's how, well, not everything in here is going to be for me, but God has something for me today. And what may not be for me may be for somebody sitting down the aisle. And so that helps me then understand as I come in that God has something here for every one of us here. It's not an accident that you're here. So you are here because God, I believe this, because God wants you to worship first and foremost. And you are here today because God wants to speak to you. He has something for every single person here. You just think you decided to come and you really didn't want it just for yourself. God has you here because he wants you to hear something from him. I believe that every single Sunday. No question. And wisdom is grabbing a hold, even if it's just that one thing that God has for you. So James says, to pray for wisdom. The psalm says to get wisdom. And I think it's talking about this understanding of the knowledge of God's word so I can then be able to apply it to my life so I can then move closer to Christ-likeness. Now, let's go to the second takeaway. Takeaway number two is, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God. This is really where we finished last week. So you start with God. You have to do the work. You start with God. Now, I said to you last week, it's you need to hear me all the way through this. So we start with God, but we also get godly counsel, right? Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. So you need to get counsel, right? But let me say this. I have a firm conviction of this, okay? That when you get counsel as a believer, okay, especially when you're walking through trials, right, and you're struggling, maybe you're struggling in the marriage. Maybe you're struggling at work. Maybe you're just whatever it may be. When you get counsel, my firm, deep, running conviction is that counsel must be from other godly people. That's where that counsel comes from. It comes from other godly people, from people that are godly, from godly people. It comes from those who know God. Not unbelievers, therefore they are godly people. When you seek counsel, you need to talk to godly people. Amen. Did we get that? You got that one right? Then maybe that's the one thing. Because listen, not in a critical, condemning way, because I what I've learned is people, when they're hurting, they are truly looking for counsel. It's not like they purposefully go ask somebody who doesn't know what in the world they're talking about. Okay? But they're hurting is what I've learned. And so in their struggle, they're reaching out to anybody, right? And I understand that. But here's the deal. We have to be careful about who we're reaching out to. So for example, as a believer, if I'm having trouble in my marriage, I'm not going to go talk to my neighbor who doesn't know Jesus on how to have a Christ-centered marriage.
Right? Yeah? Shake your head. Okay, good. Because I think we forget that sometimes. And then people come and talk to me, and they'll go, yeah, well, I talked to this guy at work. And I go, oh, well, okay, what did he tell you? He told me this. I said, what? Is he a believer? Well, no. I mean, he goes to church on Easter and stuff, but, you know, he's not a believer. He's a good friend. He cares about me. Oh, man, just give me a hug. Oh. Okay, so really, that is so important. That's why I get passionate about it, is because I've seen it lead people the wrong direction and make some really poor decisions that they really thought they were making right decisions. But they weren't seeking counsel from other believers. Okay, now, does that mean I shouldn't talk to or ever have friends that are unbelievers? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. That's the extreme. I'm not saying that at all. Right? But when it comes down to, again, remember the context here. You're in a trial, right? You're in a valley. It's a testing of your faith. That's never an easy thing. It never is, right? It's hard. It's scary. It's confusing at times. That's why you pray for wisdom. It does stuff to your head. You can't think clearly. A lot of times you just want to get it off you. But you know, and what we have to do is when we don't, and here, sometimes when we don't want to sit down and pray and read the Bible, sometimes we need to get counsel from another godly person who has sometimes for us. Now, I'm not saying it's ever okay to not sit down and not read the Bible. I'm not saying that. But I know through times of trial, sometimes we're struggling so deeply that it's hard to sit down maybe, or maybe you don't want to do that, but you know you need to. So here's what I would say. However, when it comes to the will of God, now listen to this, the will of God, okay, will always, every time be revealed in the Word of God, okay? The will of God, what God wants you to do in this situation, all right, will always be found and revealed, right, in and from the Word of God. So when you're in a situation and you're saying, man, I really want to know the will of God, what is the will of God? You will not find that outside of the Bible and the Word of God. Now, you get godly counsel, people direct you, but this is how God is going to, this is how God has revealed His will to us, is through His Word. So we have to do the work. That's why I say start with God and do the work. The wisdom of God will always be found in the Word of God. Yes, it can also be found in the people of God, but you start with God. So, and the people of God who are wise and godly that you're getting counsel from will give you counsel based on the Word of God. Right? It all goes back to this. So I think we have to be careful that a lot of times we just want to know the will of God without the Word of God, or without seeking God. So we have to be disciplined. We have to be disciplined in that. And then some might say, because I've talked to people who say this, and I've been there, I don't know what the will of God is in this situation. I'm struggling. I don't have clarity. What should I do? And my answer to that is, do today what you know is the will of God. And God will reveal it tomorrow. Now, it may not literally be tomorrow, but I mean at some point. So what that means is you do what you know is the will of God. For instance, you do what you're doing today. You come to church and you worship God. You continue to pray. You continue to be around godly people. You continue to sit under Bible teaching. You continue to have a devotional time where you're reading the Word. You continue to do those things, and then God will speak in His time through that. But that's what you do while you're waiting on the revelation of the will of God, maybe some specific situation. Right? Now, wouldn't it be easier? Wouldn't it be easier if He would just, man, like write it in the sky? Tie it on the back of one of those planes that flies over. Write it in the clouds. You know, something like that. I've thought that before. And then as I thought about it, I realized He did do that. In the Old Testament, He did that. And we think, you know, just write it on the clouds because, and that's usually because we, there's a genuine desire. I want to, you know, you want to do the will of God. Just show me. I want to do that, which is a good place to be. But he doesn't do it that way. And he did it that way. And let me just turn there. You don't have to turn there. But Exodus chapter 13 with the Israelites. All right. It's exactly what he did. All right. So in Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. All right. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way. I mean, how hard was it? Here's the cloud. The cloud goes this way. We go this way. The cloud goes this way. We go this way. That was God leading the Israelites. That's just like writing it in the clouds. It's better. I mean, it's God was moving the cloud. This is the direction you needed to go. And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light that they may travel by day and by night. Even in the darkness, I will show you by fire which way that you should go. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. Now that's with the Israelites, God telling them, go this way. Now, you probably remember the story. What happened to the Israelites? I'll answer that question for you. They flunked the obedience test is what happened. They wandered, man. They never made it to the promised land. You got that right? I mean, they had the, come on! And here's why. Because I wrestled with God about this years ago on the whole revealing your will. And not really argue. It's a one-way thing. He always wins. Although, I feel like I make good arguments, but... Because here's why, and here's why God doesn't do that today. Now, certainly in the context back in that day in the Old Testament, we could go down a whole different road. Let me just summarize. So for us, he doesn't do that because if he were just to give us signs, then we would become more dependent upon the signs than the God who gives it. That's the same idea as we would become so focused on the created things instead of the creator of those things that it would not foster faith, maturity, and dependence upon God. Instead, there's this testing of our faith that produces endurance, that moves us to a place of spiritual maturity, of wise believers. Because we don't have that answer so clearly. So what has to happen? We have to seek God. We have to pray to God. We have to read the Word of God. You see how that works? And through that process, he's deepening our faith in God and growing us in our maturity. Because he didn't write in the sky. And I think the Word tells us that he doesn't need to. He will reveal it. He will. He will reveal it through his Word. And yes, that's the primary way that God will speak to us is through his Word. So therefore, that's why it's so important that the Word of God is a part of our life more than just a Sunday, that it's a daily thing. It's a dependency thing. God is speaking through there. And if I'm not into the Word, if I'm not praying, I'm going to miss. I can miss his hand, his will for me because I'm going based on what I feel. Or based on what I think, as opposed to God spoke to me through the scriptures, and that's happened to me many, many times. My call to ministry, the call to begin Grace Point Church, the call to just over and over. I won't go into all those but where as I prayed, he spoke to me clearly through the Word. And man, I'm telling you what, when you have a clear word from God on that, you stand firm on that. And you know we're going. Why? Because God spoke. How did he speak? Right through his Word, right here, Ephesians 3, 2, or whatever it was. Right here, man, it was clear. And it wasn't me just opening the Bible, doing that type of thing, and going, well, look, I turned right to this verse. It wasn't a one-day thing. It was an ongoing thing where I'm seeking the will of God, first and foremost, seeking God through his Word, and through that he begins to speak through his Word. And then in a marriage situation, then my wife confirms that because he speaks to her, because the Bible talks about one flesh. So in big decisions like that, we're big believers, I am, that there's one flesh. If Karen would have came to me and said, I don't think we're supposed to start Grace Point Church. I don't think we're supposed to leave this comfortable, place where we're at with our four children in the house we have that you worked so hard to see that building program finished, to quit and resign and go start a church with no guarantee of money, sell our house, go lease a house, cram all the kids in there and start it that way and just see if it's going to work. No guarantee of anything, salary or anything. If she would have said, hey, I don't think we should do that, which after I'd build it up, I think everybody would say she was wise. Doesn't sound like a good deal. But if she had said to me, you know what, I've prayed and I've sought the Lord. I don't see it. I don't see God in this. I'm going to tell you, we're not going. Because I believe that strongly in one flesh. And that if God has spoken, now we're talking about, I'm not talking about whether I should buy the new tennis shoes or not. That's a whole other thing. But, because God just speaks to me on that, not her. But he spoke, just, well, you got 20 pairs. I know, but I needed this one. So, but I'm talking about big decisions, okay? I need to move on out of this one, man. I'm going to, but I'm talking about like something like that, right? That man, if we're going to make a move like that, God, because I know she's going to seek God for wisdom too from the Word. She's not going to base it on how she feels about things. She's going to base it on this is what, and I know her, that she's going to seek God. And I'm going to seek the Lord. And when God speaks to both of us through the Scriptures, it's sometimes totally, completely different. We're going. I'm going to tell you what, I'm glad he spoke and we went. Because we've got to see him do amazing things in our life. But that comes from us seeing God and asking God for wisdom through the Word of God. Now, okay, let me give you these last two, and I don't have time to dwell. God, takeaway number three is God wants to help you. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all. So in other words, in summary, you know, God's not going to begrudgingly give that to you. He's not a stingy father. You know, sometimes if fathers are stingy, they give you something, but then they hold it against you, or they always remind you about that. That's, he's saying, God's not like that. You can ask him all the time for wisdom. It's going to be without reproach, without reservation. He's not going to say, are you back? No, he will continue. He gives wisdom, okay? Now, but we need to go to the last part. This is the key point, verse 6. But let him ask in faith. Now, that's the key with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So number four, take away number four. Based on that right there is we always have to ask in faith. We have to ask in faith. Now, listen, this is not, I think the context of this doubting, I'm going to show you in just a minute, it's not a believer who is in the trial and they're struggling with, man, I'm struggling with the goodness of God here. I'm struggling with, is God hearing my prayers? I'm struggling with, okay, that's one kind of doubt. That's like John the Baptist. I think he walked through that, right? When he said, are you really Messiah? I'm in jail. Go ask him. All right, is he or is he not? He may not be. That's the doubt, right? That's a different type of what's happening here. Here, James is talking about double-mindedness. So in summary, what he's saying, you have this mindset that we have the world's way and we have God's way, right? And double-minded and doubt is, well, I think I'll ask, it's almost like this. I think I'll ask God and I'll see what he responds or what he says. But if the way of the world is better, I think I'm going to go this way. That's the double-minded. You're not fully committed to do the will of God. You're not fully committed and surrendered to God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Ask in faith. Take one number four. Faith is essential for approaching God, okay? Now, in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says this, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, what I'm going to read in the next part of that verse, he then goes on and gives us three ways that are demonstration of our faith, okay, in this verse. So without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. There's one. So that's the first thing, okay? A double-minded man does not, goes back and forth, right? But a person of faith must believe that he is. There's one demonstration of your faith. And that he is a rewarder. There's the second thing, that he will answer and provide. That's the second demonstration of faith, a rewarder of those who seek him. There's the third. So those three things in that passage, that's a whole nother message. But those three things right there are demonstration of one that has faith. James is saying the double-minded man is the one who doesn't have those things. You don't have faith. Right? And you're doubting. Maybe God will, maybe God will not. And some are back and forth, back and forth. And he says, as he says there, for the one who doubts in that way is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. So the surf has no inner power or principle to direct itself. It's totally at the will of the wind, completely unstable. It can be a destructive force as it batters against boats or rocks. And he's saying that's a picture of a person who lacks faith in God. That's a picture of a person who's doubting. So when we ask in faith. We believe that God is. We believe that he will answer, and we seek him because of that. Okay, I started with two things. I want to finish. I'm going to give you three, and then we're going to pray together. Number one, let me just remind you, as I started with, God always gives his power and wisdom for his purpose, not our convenience. Okay, again, the will of God right inside the word of God. Number two, God will always give you the strength and wisdom you need for the season that you're in today. Wherever you find yourself, God will give you the strength and the wisdom you need for the season that you're in today. And then number three, I add this one, is this. Wherever you are, so whatever season you are in, and I think for me, God just showed me this a while, that wherever you are, whatever season you're in, be all there. Be all there. So if I am at a time of testing, in order for me to get the full effect, I must be all there, as opposed to me just wanting to get it off me. Get me out of this thing. Right? But to be all there. I'm not saying I want to stay there forever, but I'm saying that there, that season, God has something for me. So I need to be all there so I can get the full effect of what God has for me. Not looking to the past. We're not looking to the future. Wherever I am at, I need to be all there right now. Here's what one writer says it this way. My name is I Am. He says, I was regretting the past and fearing the future, and suddenly my Lord was speaking, my name is I Am. And he paused and I waited. He continued, when you live in the past with its mistakes and regrets, it's hard because I am not there. My name is not I Was. When you live in the future with its problems and fears, it's hard because I'm not there. My name is not I Will Be. But when you live in this moment, I am there. My name is I Am. Let's pray together. Let's stand too. Let's stand as we pray and be